You're listening to Wet Shaving Talk, powered by SharpBalders.com, where we're dedicated to preserving the art and skill of classic shaving. I'm your host, Joe Borelli, and today is September 3rd, 2018. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. Very special show for you today as the summer is coming to an end over here. Labor Day weekend. Today is actually Labor Day, the day the show will be coming out. So happy Labor Day to you all. Enjoy the last summer holiday. And for those of you in those colder climates, get ready because fall is coming and you're going to get a little bit of relief. For us down here, it's going to stay hot for a little while. So enough of the weather. I know we like to talk a lot about the weather here as well. Let's talk about the show, what's going on with the show. So today on the show, we're going to talk about a vendor that's closing up. Well-known artisan, and if you've been around for a few years, they decided to close up shop. We'll talk a little bit about them. We have an update from a razor producer with a very unique design, Janus Razors. They had an update in August, and we have a picture there, too, of their prototype for that new toggle that's coming out. A discussion of the week will be Mantic 59's interview with Brian of Shannon Soaps. Very interesting interview. Great company. If you haven't tried their products, we've had them featured here. I've given them away here also on the podcast in the past year or so. Good stuff as well. Product review will be the Naked Armor Straight Razor set. I was fortunate enough to have Naked Armor. They sent me a straight razor to try, and I'll tell you my thoughts on it. And then we'll talk about what's coming up with the cast, because as you know, it's getting close to fall time, so we're going to do our fall seasonal special here in the next 3 or 4 weeks. I like to do it in October, but we'll see if we're going to do it a little earlier, so we'll get all of the seasonal products out ready to go. It's going to be very interesting and a lot of fun, so guys, you don't want to miss that part either, and that will be coming up shortly. So without further ado, let's get on with the show. All right, guys. Local Gent Shaving Company has decided to shut down previously for last week. So I think it was like Tuesday of last week. They just seen a Facebook post, and it's been all over the place. They decided, hey, this is it. We're just going to shut it down. Our last day will be Friday to buy stuff, and we'll open up our seasonal product till Sunday for their final seasonal batch that they'll send out when it's ready to go. Now, unknown really why they decided to shut down. But a lot of it, there's a lot of controversy on the on Facebook, really, on their Facebook page with a couple of members on there last week. And a lot of it was mainly because, I saw that the owners were a little bit irate with some people not being their friends or something like that. And there was a couple of trolling going back and forth. But the real reason is really unknown. I don't know why they're closing down. But, a lot of it, we think about it like this. Everybody's saying, "Oh, the industry's changing, or we're slowing down, we're speeding up." Think of it this way, guys: for a local artisan, I put it down on paper and I have it right in front of me. For you to make $20,000 a year, and you sell a soap for $20, you got to sell 1,000 soaps, right? That's about 100. We're gonna say 80 to 100 soaps a month. That's 80 to 100 packages sent out a month. Break that down, you're looking at what? 70 to 80 a week. I mean, that's a lot of work to do and a lot of soap to make just to make $20,000 in sales. So think of it this way. Is it easier just to get a day job and work that and work 9 to 5 and make more money, or if not the same? Or is it, better to run your own business and have to go online every 2 minutes and be, really, if you think about it, for some of these artisans, it's a 24-hour job because you have people in all of the time zones. If they get their package late, or they get it and it's damaged, you're getting messages and emails. They probably get, for the amount of work that they do, I don't think people really appreciate what these artisans do to make a living, And that's why I think we see a lot of them back out after a while. I was thinking about it myself. How long would I have to do that if I was working, 50, 60 hours a week and really not making, as much as I could, just working 50, 60 hours a week somewhere else? Or if I was making a lot, how many people would I have to employ? Is this how a business starts? Is it too much of a niche business and it would take too long to establish long term? Or think of it this way, guys. You buy a shaving soap. The shaving soap lasts 6 months. How many soaps do people buy? Or worse, if you buy a razor. A razor, some of these really high quality razors, they're built to last a lifetime. You're not supposed to buy another one. So, you don't get really very many repeat businesses or repeat customers. You get mostly people that are hobbyists, like the most of you guys listening to this show, you know, who buy 20 or 30 soaps a year, or who have 25, 30, 40, 50, 100 razors, you know, that's where it comes down to why. So, you know, not saying that this is local gent situation, because I don't know what it is. Okay, I don't know. I read some things. I'm not going to jump to conclusions. But I can understand you have a family. You got a lot of work. And if you think about it, like, oh, if I go back to my day job, you know, I can make just as much and not have to kill myself and deal with the emails when I get home and stuff. So, I mean, think of it this way. To make $20,000 in just sales out of $20 soap, you need to sell 1,000 soaps. All right. Now, take the cost and everything. What if it costs you, you know, the container costs you a dollar, right? The soap itself costs you $3 or $4 to make. Even if you're making $15 profit, that's a lot of soap to make just to make, you know, ends meet. And then you got to pay taxes on top of that. So, I mean, think of it this way. You probably have to make 10,000 soaps a year in order to be able to sustain, you know, a regular salary, right? And I'm not knocking anybody in the business. I'm not knocking any vendors. I understand a lot of these guys are part-time, all right? And so the few that are full-time are, you know, larger, more of a presence, right? But think of it. You got to sell that many soaps to make a living. And then people are wondering, oh, why are you closing up? And then we have the audacity to bother people like this, which we should, because if you're not happy with your product and you're not happy with your purchase, you should be able to say something, right? And that's, you know, think of it this way. After a while, it's like, hey, man, what's the point? I'm killing myself for literally nothing. And I'm tired and everything like that. And if I go to a regular job, I get home at 6 o'clock at night or 7 o'clock at night, and I'm done for the day. You know? Just some thoughts. If you guys have any thoughts, you know, you always feel free to email me. You know where to find me. joe.wetshavingnews@gmail.com if you think about it. If you're a vendor, too, and you're going through some struggles and, you know, you want to talk about it, too, hey, come on over, send an email. So that's all I have to say about that. So, local gent, although you're leaving the industry and you're gone, we do salute you here at the podcast, because I did think you had some nice soaps and some good products. I did get to meet you guys at the Big Shave West a couple years ago, so it was very, very nice to meet you and see, you know, I think you just came out with your aftershaves then, or had a launch of aftershaves, and they're pretty good stuff, and I have a couple of your soaps. So, local gent, the podcast salutes you. We wish you the best of luck, and with everything that you do in the future. So thanks again for the couple of years you did soaps and kept it interesting. And I did buy a Halloween set myself, so I have one coming, and that'll be a little bit of a shrine. I'll enjoy using that for the holiday season, for the fall holiday season. So thank you very much, guys. All right, update from Janice Razors. Janice Razors, if you guys don't know, is a gentleman that's working on making a toggle. All right, he's replicating the Gillette toggle with modern technology, which seems to be a lot harder than it was with 1956 or 1955 technology. Now, granted, we don't, you know, he's using CNC machining, 3D printing, all that stuff. And back then, you know, Gillette had that huge, huge factories where they just pumped out thousands of these things at a time. But he could definitely tell that the prototype is on its way. There's actually, it looks like a working prototype right now on the website. And I think we're just another step closer of having a brand new toggle. One thing I will say, guys, I'm not sure about the retail on this, but it's going to probably be high. With all the research and development, all these moving parts for a toggle, I could probably see it being kind of high. So if that's something that you're looking for, I would start, you know, maybe get on their mailing list and start saving up, because that razor is probably going to be, you know, a couple few hundred dollars at least, right? And, you know, is it cheaper to get a used toggle and have it restored? Maybe if you get a toggle for $200 online and you go and get it fixed up, you know, send it to a person that does it, resurfaces them and replates them, you're looking at maybe another $150, $350. You might have your own toggle perfectly in perfect condition, or you can buy the Janus Razor when that comes out. I'm sure it's going to be cool. I'm sure it's going to have some different features as well. I'm just saying that looking at the designs, they're very similar and they look very close. So probably the shave will be very close to them, each other. So Janus Razor's update, check out their website, and the prototype is coming along and it looks like it's actually shave worthy right now. So we'll see probably some more updates in the near few months. So check them out, guys. Janus Razor's. All right, guys, and without further ado, we have an interview with Mantic59 and Brian of Shannon Soaps. So, guys, I want you to enjoy this interview. I hope you enjoyed the interviews we've been doing lately, because I have been. They're really great. I listened to every single one of them thoroughly, and sometimes once or twice, and I kind of feel like to really get a picture, a good picture of what the vendor or the artisan goes through on a daily basis and what their business means to them. So guys, check it out. Without further ado, Brian of Shannon Soaps.
Hey, Magic 59 here at the 2018 Maggards Meetup in Michigan with Brian of Shannon Soaps. Thanks for sitting down with me again. You were here 2 years ago, correct? Or year before last?
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
and
you're back again. Yep, that's true. Which brings me into a good first question. What's changed since the last time we've talked together, or what hasn't changed?
Well, I was reflecting upon that. I thought we might talk again, and I was thinking you might ask that sort of question, and I thought, you know, not a whole lot, not as much has changed as I would have liked to have changed. I think last time we spoke, I talked about really wanting to broaden our premium line that we had just introduced at that time. We call it Rust Belt Reserve Rust Belt because that's where we're from. Cleveland, Ohio is the Rust Belt. It's the heart of the Rust Belt, so to speak. So we had wanted to kind of broaden that a lot more. And as it stands right now, we just recently introduced, today was the first, this is the first time and place we had ever sold our Lakeshore Drive scent, which is, people have asked about it, you know, as we were talking to people wandering through the meetup here, how I would describe it. And I guess I would call it a Midwestern Great Lakes aquatic, in that it has that aquatic note to it at the top, but kind of at the bottom it gets a little dirtier with some labdanum in there. And
but
some,
not as dirty as other lake drives like,
exactly.
Like I've experienced before.
Right. This is the good Lakeshore Drive. Much different from the one you were describing earlier. So we've introduced that today, and really that's only the second soap in the line, the first being the Forest City Fern. And we have improved the formula since we introduced Forest City Fern, so there's goat milk in there, there's meadow foam, seed oil, and a bunch of other wonderful things that my wife can tell you what the function is of them. I just shave with it, and you know, and I'm impressed by the formula. But so that's taken more time than we would have liked. We've had some distractions, but some of them have been good. For example, we were talking earlier about the partnership that we've had with Timeless Razors.
Right.
We did a co-branded scent with them called Etheria. There's a soap, shaving soap, a splash, and now there's also a bath soap that we've done for them as well. And we really developed that premium shave soap formula for them, you know, with the goat milk and all the other good things are there. And it took us quite a while to come up with that, quite a while to come up with the scent. But it's been a really great partnership for us, and we've been really pleased, and they've been really pleased. So I think it's been worth the time that we've put into it.
Cool. So Shannon Soaps as a line of products is basically not only expanding the line, but expanding the distribution as well. Is that safe to say?
Yeah. The Timeless guys, their shop is literally 10 minutes away from our house. So it just works out so very well. And to be associated with you know, a very high quality brand like that, I think helps us both out.
Okay.
So
sure.
So yeah, it was a great opportunity for us, and we were really happy to be able to do it.
How do you determine what might be popular with your customers? I mean, do you take email feedback, and if the X number of people are looking for Y scent, you do it, or is there some other process involved?
You know, I think it's all of the above.
Mm.
We do get feedback, and we welcome it. You know, we always welcome. I'll tell anybody who's willing to listen that we you know, positive or negative, we love to have that feedback because it's the only way that we're going to improve. So we do get email feedback. We're pretty active on social media. There's a couple Facebook groups that I frequent, some forums that I frequent. So, you know, people will give me suggestions through there. They'll give them through, you know, the email form on the website. And you just listen. You know, you see what the trends are, what people are talking about. You know, the most valuable sort of threads for us as soap makers and soap sellers are the ones where people talk about, you know, what's the scent that you really want to see made? You know, the scent that you would die to buy. And there's plenty of threads like that where it's like, oh, this is a gold mine. I'm just going to read this all day long. Yeah. To see what people are looking for. And, you know, a lot of it is feedback. A lot of it is, you know, we, you know, taking a look at what classic scents are and what we think we might be missing. You know, the Lakeshore Drive is an example of that. We didn't have a kind of aquatic sort of scent. So that was kind of a hole that we thought we would fill. There are plenty others that we could work on as well. You know, and sometimes inspiration hits too. You know, Shannon, I told a couple people as they were walking through the setup upstairs to talk to the vendors that she came up with the pineapple banana scent that we've been selling as a seasonal. And it was really, really amazing the response that we got off of that. We started selling it here at Maggard Razors, and almost immediately the first batch we sent was gone within days. And we sent them another fairly large batch, and that was gone within a week. And to be honest, that was Shannon's idea. She told me she was going to make it. I said, you're crazy. I don't know that anybody's going to buy that. And people bought it up like mad. So I told some people upstairs, sometimes she's smarter than me. Don't let that get around. But sometimes she'll hit on those, and there'll be hits like that. And, you know, there are other times where I'll come up with something, and that'll be successful. So it really comes from just about everywhere.
Okay. Where do you see the market heading?
Well, there are a lot of competitors coming into the market. You know, you and I were talking about it on the way down here, that there's, you know, more than ever, I think. We talked about it last time as well, that was one of the trends, and I think it's gotten even more competitive from the time that we spoke. And, you know, that's a good thing and it's a bad thing. Competition is sometimes hard, but you know, it pushes us, right? I mean, it pushed us to create a premium soap base that I'm really very proud of. So, you know, that's good. And, you know, this is a business that we care about and a market that we care about. It's been good to us. So we want to stick with it. We want to do the best that we can, and we want to succeed. So, you know, we'll try as hard as we can to keep succeeding at it.
Great. With all the new products and scents you've come up with since the last time we talked, do you have a favorite?
You know, I think the Forest City Fern scent that we have has been around for a bit, but the reformulation of it with that reformulated premium soap base, I think is really one of my favorites. It's just got a really good classic fougere scent. You know, I don't want to brag too much about my own products, because that's, you know, it's not a great thing to do. But and I told this to a couple people upstairs too when they were coming through and smelling the Lakeshore Drive and all that. You know, I was surprised the first time that I used that soap base, because, you know, I think I can't remember what the aftershave was that I followed it up with, but it was a notorious burner aftershave with lots of alcohol in it. And, And, you know, as good as our standard soap base is, you put it on and you'd get some, you know, you get some burning after shaving with it. I felt nothing after and I can't guarantee this is going to happen for everyone else or necessarily that it would happen with me every time I used it. But when we got that formula where we wanted and the first time I used it and I put that alcohol-based splash on and it was just like water on my face. And that coupled with the Forest City Fern scent that I like a whole lot, I think it's a great overall product. We've gotten a resurgence in interest in our Bay Patchouli grapefruit scent as well, and I think I talked about that last time that we spoke as well. And I think I said last time we should probably change the name because people get afraid of the patchouli, but, you know, interest died down for a bit, and it's just kind of come roaring back, you know, as people sort of rediscover it. And I really, really like that scent. As a matter of fact, Shannon had made a Bay Patchouli Orange bath soap, and that's how it started out. And I smelled it, and I said, you have to make this into a shave soap. You have to, because I like it that much. I think the last one that I would mention is we have a scent called Lit. And that's been around for a while, too. But it's not been as successful as I would have thought. And it's a smoky kind of floral sort of a scent. And when you open up that jar and you just smell the scent that comes out of that jar, you get kind of an overwhelming smokiness. But it has to be lathered in order for you to really smell what it was meant to be. So what happens when you lather it is the smokiness kind of tones down and the florals come up. And once it's been lathered, it smells not completely different from where you started, but very different. And, you know, I think it's a fantastic soap. And, you know, can't imagine why it doesn't sell 10 times better than it does.
Okay, very good. Well, I'm glad things are going well.
They are.
Good. And we will hopefully see you again very soon.
Yes, I think you will. I think we'll make this trip again, and you know, I appreciate the time that you and your lovely wife spend doing these sorts of things. And you know, I'm also very appreciative to everyone that buys our products. I don't know that I've said that enough before. You know, it does a lot for us, your purchases. It sends my children to school, sends my daughter to dance lessons, and lots of other things. So we're very appreciative of the support. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much.
All right, guys, great interview. Got to enjoy listening to these artisan interviews. I mean, I really do. Just to see what they go through with their products and how they really feel. I mean, they are really dedicated to doing it. And, you know, just how we were previously mentioning before the interview, we were talking about how a lot of these artists got to work so hard. You know, it gives me a better understanding sometimes when I put it on paper what they go through every single day of their life and how passionate you have to be able to do a job like this and how proud you are when you see people that just enjoy it and really like your scents and like your soaps and products, and you see them on the Shave of the Days and everything like that. So salute to Shannon Soaps. Brian, great interview with Brian and Mantic 59. I really hope you guys enjoyed it because we're going to keep doing these interviews. You know, Mark has a bunch of them. I'm going to try and do some on my own as well, getting a little bit more motivated after hearing these because I really do enjoy them. I've talked to a lot of people on email and stuff, but I think putting it to audio is a lot better. Moving right along now. We're going to talk about the Naked Armor straight razor set. Now, if you guys have seen on the advertisements and stuff, they do a set with a straight razor that has made of Japanese stainless steel, and it comes with a set with like a leather pouch, a strop, a brush, a soap, everything comes with it. So I was able to you know, go and email back and forth with Laura of Naked Armor Straight Razors and Naked Armor, you know, shaving company. And she's like, you know, convinced me. She's like, hey, let me send you a set and let you try and let me know how you feel. And I was like, at first I really kind of didn't want to do it because sometimes, you know, I look at these razor companies and I think, you know, maybe it's a gimmick or maybe it's just not, you know, something for me, right? I like to purchase my stuff as much as possible, unless it's samples, and usually I just give them away. So I said, okay, fine, you can send me the set. I got the set, and it's stainless steel, which is something that whenever I hear from a straight razor, I'm scared. Stainless steel is hard, it's tough to hone, and I usually don't have the greater results with them. So I had this razor come, and I'm trying it out, and it seems everything seems to be working, but I'll be honest, the razor is nice, the quality and everything is great. The kit, everything, it's affordable. I mean, the whole kit was like $150, right? And the straight razor is made with woodland lay scales, but with those metal inserts, which is something I probably could have done without, but I could see why they did it. It's a solider feel. Also creates or prevents flexing of the scales, right? For you straight razor guys, you guys know what I'm talking about. I'm more into traditionalist, so that's something I would omit if I was going to do this company. The shave itself, I would say, would be probably about medium. I thought the razor was nice. I thought the quality was nice. I like that the stainless steel was sharp. It's made out of Japanese steel. It was definitely sharp, but it wasn't like a carbon steel to me. So I had a little bit of a struggle going against the grain and going with the grain in certain areas, especially with 2 days' growth. I did do a video. It's going to be on, I believe, the West Coast Shaving Shave of the Day, Daily Shave Club or thing that they do over there. I do videos for them. So that's coming out too, and I'll post it here on the podcast when it comes out next, probably on the next show. So guys, my thoughts. I think it's a nice set. It's definitely a nice presentation set. I think it's the quality is there with the build of the products. Again, I would definitely send this razor out to get honed, which is something that I usually do with new straight razors. Anyway, I would either hone them myself or send them out. Regardless if it's a Dovo or anything like that, a lot of people recommend having them professionally honed or touched up. This is one of those razors I would do so. So for me, I'm going to touch this razor up and then try it again and then come back to you guys, because at first it was just a little rough. I think it's a good quality piece. I think it's got some potential. Again, stainless steel is something that you make that you don't want to get destroyed when it comes to straight razors, and you don't want them to get rusted up, and you can basically not have to worry about maintaining them. But there are some drawbacks, like the steel is harder to hone, harder to maintain, you know, long term for that. So I'm going to have this thing honed. I'm going to hone it myself on my stones, and I'm going to try it again in a couple days, and I will tell you guys what is the result, you know, the results of the touch up after I do all that. So guys, remember also your mileage may vary with products. So there might be people out there getting great shaves with it. For me, I have a very coarse beard. It's very difficult for me to find certain straight razors right off the bat ready. I have to usually hone them up on a caudical. And usually when I do that, I can get some good results. So this razor, I'm going to try again doing that. I'm going to let you guys know. And yeah, that's it. So definitely check them out. Naked. I put the link to the show notes. They have some other products as well. They have a safety razor as well. Check them out. They're all over the place on social media. They're in a lot of sets. They've sold a lot of these sets anyway. So, and if you own one and you'd like to tell me about how you're getting it to work for you, let me know, please, at joe.whatshavingnews@gmail.com. All right, guys. So that's it for this week. It's a long show today. And we hope you enjoyed the interview and all of the reviews and everything we've been doing. Just to let everybody know, the fall seasonal special is coming up in the next, I believe we're going to do that. Usually I like to do that in the first show of October, and I'm shooting for that for this year as well. If you do know of any new fall products, or if you have a favorite or seasonal, or you're a vendor and you're coming out with something new and you want to talk about it, I need all this stuff in basically by the third week of September so I can get this all together. It's a long show. It's a straight show of just talking about products, and I go through every single vendor. I have over 100 vendors on my sheets that I go and check, and I'll check their websites and everything. So vendors, words of advice for vendors: make it easy to find your fall seasonal products for us, all of us, or all your seasonal products, because it makes it a lot easier for us to purchase them and for me to search them. So a little selfish on my part there. All right, guys, so the fall seasonal special is coming up. Remember, our show is powered by Sharpologist.com, which your father didn't teach you about shaving. Special thanks to Brian of Shannon Soaps for taking the time to do an interview with Mark. Special thanks to Mark, a.k.a. Mantic59, say that three times fast, for everything that he does in the wet shaving community. And most of all, you guys, the listeners, because without you, there would be no podcast and no wet shaving at all. Right? No wet shavers, no wet shaving. Don't forget to check out my blog site, shavestraightsafe.com, and always feel free to email me at joe.wetshavingnews@gmail.com. Check out my YouTube channel as well in the show notes. And remember, if you have any questions or if you're interested in sponsoring or doing any giveaways, please always feel free to email me. Our next show will be the 17th of September. And until then, guys, shave straight and shave safe. Bye-bye now.